Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message. Everyday Heroes. That's our series, Everyday Heroes. An ordinary life doesn't disqualify you. That's where heroes are made. We've been going over this now for a couple of weeks. Everyday heroes. You're an everyday hero because what Jesus has done in your life, he is so good. He is so amazing. And our key verse for this series is Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And if you have your Bibles, I would highlight that verse completely, but also double it underneath the give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Because that's why we do it. We don't do this to make much of us. We do this to make much of him. So when the people see us do our good works, they give glory to him. They don't necessarily see us. They see him in us, and they want what that is. Then when they get what that is, they give glory to him. A hero is a person who is admired or idealized for courage, outstanding achievement, or noble qualities. And as we've said a couple of times, and it needs to be said again, Jesus is the ultimate hero. Amen. There is no better one. He is awesome. He is amazing. And he is the only one worthy to be praised. Ooh. Let that sink in. Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. And we love you. What we're going to be doing today is looking at some heroes. And we're going to kind of address the word glory. I want to highlight the word glory, to glorify. As you see in our last verse, to give glory to the Father. And in today's verses and in today's heroes, you're going to be seeing some glorification of the Father and of Jesus. In glory, its Greek name is doxazo. It means to glorify, honor, or magnify. Who are you glorifying? Who are you honoring? Who are you magnifying? Wind chimes. Today's message, and if you got your pens and your paper and your Bibles, here we go. Today's hero is the unsung hero. The unsung hero. The hero of a story, the hero of an event that goes unnoticed. It's like, you know, some of the superheroes or anything like that we read from comic books. It's like they save somebody or they do something in the middle of the night and nobody else knows that they're doing it. And they just do it without any credit. Today, the unsung hero. And we're going to be going over 7 special dudes. 7 special guys in Acts chapter 6. So if you could go to Acts chapter 6 in our key verse for today. Acts chapter 6. Our key verse for today is Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Kind of a different verse. What does it mean? Well, here we go. Acts chapter 6. And then in just a second, I'm going to start and I'm going to go from Acts chapter 6 and I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. And we're going to see how important this is. Bless you. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So Hellenistic Jews and Hebrew Jews, Jews, yes, but the Hellenistic Jews were Jews born in Greek areas at the time. And they would come to Jerusalem, and they too would be amongst the mix there of people who are starting to believe in Jesus, and they too were being served. And they started seeing that, oh man, the native-born Hebrews, the native-born Jews in Jerusalem, in modern-day Israel, were being treated a little bit different, and they were calling it out. And these Jews who had come here, they needed to be served equally because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12, the apostles, summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Here we go. Therefore, brethren, select from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The statement found approval with the whole congregation. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicolas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God kept spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many priests were becoming obedient to the faith. These guys were selected to do something, to serve. And at the moment, it may seem a small thing to serve people food. Serve food, a little thing. But as we'll see, it's a huge thing in the eyes of God. You will see that there is no small task that God asks us to do in His eyes. Because when we do that task, no matter how big or how small it is, we think it is, it changes the world. Just think of that. What these guys did here by saying yes to what was asked of them, by serving food to these people, ended up changing the world. The title, Unsung Hero, is kind of a misnomer. Because when you serve the Lord, there is no unsung heroes. You may not be known as greatly as somebody else, but you're still a hero. No matter how big or how small the task God asks you to do. In the first two messages, we saw how important it was for us to know that through Jesus, we have the victory over victimhood, our first message, and our mistakes, the second one. This allows us to partner with God in the victory in our daily lives at home, work, and the community as He leads us. Today we are looking at some unsung heroes of the Bible, people that at first thought should have gone unnoticed, though as they grew in the Lord, they also grew in their influence. They were asked a simple thing, to serve. But these men were powerful. These were powerful men. It didn't just say, go out into the streets and just find some guys that weren't doing anything. Just find somebody out there who's just like hanging out. We're too busy to do it. It says, go out there and find some men, find some people who are what? Had a good reputation. They had to be a good character. They had to be known as being a good and godly man. They had to have the Spirit of God. They had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They had to have His anointing and of wisdom. They were smart people. They knew things. These were powerful men. And as I was reading this, and as I was going over and I was thinking about it, you know, you think of like powerful people in the Bible, and these guys right here, it's like, and they want to be used by God. They want to do what he wants them to do. But it just seems like these guys with the caliber people that they were should have been doing more than you would think, you know, like just looking at it, you're like, man, just serving people food? I want to do this great and mighty thing. You know, I've got the Spirit in me. I'm a good man, and I'm anointed, and I want to do all these things for you, God. Could you just imagine just sitting there and be like, oh, I'm just so on fire for God. I just want to do some great and amazing things. And God's like, yes, I want you to serve people food. Serve people food. But these men, full of faith, knew that serving people food was much more a huge thing than they could ever think or imagine than what it was in the natural. Just serving food. That just hit me so strong this week. Yeah, that is good. These guys, these unsung heroes, these guys with names very hard to say, other than Stephen and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. These men here, these unsung heroes, we know go on to do some great and mighty things. I know the reason I'm saying this today is because God was on the move back then, and God is on the move now, and God is on the move in the future. The last couple of messages, we talked about getting over what somebody has done to you and getting over what you have done to yourself. And now, I'm talking about through Jesus, getting the victory over yourself. I'm going to let that sink in for a second. Sometimes our greatest enemy is ourselves. And when we think that way, in the move of God, we want to be a part of it, but we take ourselves away from what God is calling us to do, because of ourselves and how we see ourselves and what we think we should be doing. He's doing great and amazing things here and now, and He wants you to be a part of it. He wants you to be a part of what He's doing in this world. He gives us the victory over ourselves. For these guys, You could tell that they did have the victory over themselves because they said yes to what seemed like to be a menial task. And I'm thinking to myself, could I have done that? Would I have done that? Would I have said yes to something that seems so plain? And I know it's yes that I could. Do you know it's a yes for you? Are you willing to do anything when he asks you? Remember, he is Lord. How does he want you to serve? How does he want you to affect the world? And are you willing to say yes? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes when I preach, there is a space and time when I don't seem to be saying a lot. It's because I'm getting a download. So if you're like, well, what's going on? What's going on? I'm listening to God, asking him where he wants me to go with something, what he wants me to do with something, and where he wants me to speak and who to speak to. And all I'm getting right now is when I look over this congregation, when I look over all of you, and normally when I preach and do things, I keep my eyes closed and I walk back and forth as God's saying something to me. But right now he wants me to open up my eyes to see a congregation of people who are powerful, people who are heroes in their own special way. And he wants me to reinforce that in your lives, that you are heroes and that you do serve and that you're precious in his sight. He wants you to hear that. He wants you to know that. He wants you to know that he sees you. He wants you to know that he sees you when nobody else does. He wants you to know that he sees you when you're doing something, there's nobody else around, and you're saying to yourself, what good is this? I'm just serving plates of food. He's saying, I see that, and I know that. I know your heart. He's saying that when he sees you, you're changing the world. One person at a time. He's saying that he sees your, what I'm getting now is just your precious heart. You're doing it because you want people to see him, and you're not doing it for your own glory. You're doing this so people will be known by him and that they know him. Who? What they did seemed small, but it wasn't. It changed the world. What we do may seem small, but it's not. It changes the world. God is on the move, and he wants you to be on the move with him to change the world. So we have to get over our past mistakes. We have to get over things that have happened to us, and we have to get over ourselves so we can say yes to him and not let anything hinder us from what he wants us to do. Is there something hindering you that keeps you from saying yes? We were saying earlier, it was saying yes to him. This is a daily thing. There's nothing that's disqualifying you, only yourself, because you say no to what he has for you. He's asking you to do big things and seemingly small things, but all in all, he's asking you to do something, and all he wants from you is to say yes and to follow that out to the best of your ability, to the best that you know how. What is hindering you from saying yes to him? Nothing hindered these men right here because their biggest thought wasn't to be a hero, to get their name known throughout the world, even though it was. They didn't know it at the time that these men would become. Philip was a great evangelist. Stephen became the first martyr. And these other men, even though it's not written in the Bible, but we have historical accounts, the other men that I mentioned here today went on to do great and amazing things for the Lord. There, some of them had ministries, some of them were martyrs in other parts of the world. But at this time, at this moment, they didn't know that they were going to do that. They just knew that they were saying yes to God. And that was enough for them. Is it enough for you? I know sometimes for me, where I struggle a lot of things too, is when I try to get the victory, though I'm not trying to get the victory, I have the victory. When I walk in the victory over myself, where I've had problems sometimes too is anybody seeing what I'm doing? Yeah, up here it's easy. Everybody's seeing what I'm doing up here, even people online. But it's like when I'm sweeping the floors or something like that. Even though I actually kind of like sweeping the floors. I actually really kind of like mopping too. No, I won't say it too loud.
Somebody else needs to say it.
Somebody else needs to say, I love mopping too. And we know where to get that. But it's like, God, is this even changing the world? Is taking out the garbage changing the world? Is setting the seats back changing the world? I'm just being honest. You know, that's what he wants from us, is to be honest. You know, it's like where we struggle, it's not that he doesn't know that we struggle in this area and that we know where we struggle, but sometimes it's admitting, I struggle in this area. I want to be congratulated sometimes, or, you know, like have an accolade. Oh, man, you set up these chairs so awesome. No one's ever set up chairs like you before, ever. These chairs look the most beautiful things ever. Sometimes we want to hear that. But I don't want to do it for that reason. It may seem small, but I want to do it for the glory of God. Everything that we do in this life can be for the glory of God. Amen. Whatever we do, it says in, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, whether we eat or drink, we all do it for the glory of God. Even eating and drinking, the glory of God. Kind of makes you think, though, what did we look like the last time we ate? Hannah and Brian, you eat awful lot in that car of yours. What about to the glory? Even when we eat or drink, doing it to the glory of God, how much more so when we serve God and where he asks us to say yes to it? Where is he asking you to say yes? Do you know? Do you know where he's asking you to say yes? Jesus is on the move. Where does he have you going? Do you know? Do you know where he's asking you to say yes? It's not about fame. It's not about acolytes. And sometimes our dreams can even get in the way of what he's asking us to do. Our dreams. I can imagine these men right here who were so full of the Spirit, so in love with Jesus, just didn't want to hang out in Jerusalem and serve food. I imagine if they're anything like me, they want to go out into the world and see great and amazing things and go on adventures and pray and just spread the gospel to all creation. They loved him more, and they said yes, not knowing if their dreams would be fulfilled. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we have an idea in our head, a dream that we want, a dream that we think about. I'm a daydreamer. I'm a wonder thinker. I'm always daydreaming. I'm always thinking. I want to go here. I want to do this. I want to go that place. I want to see those people. I have dreams. For God to get the victory over me, I've got to let him hold my dreams. And when he's holding my dreams, I've got to be willing to say I'm letting go of some of them because I know the dreams he has for me are even greater than the ones I had for myself. And I have to trust in that. That when I say yes to him in the simple things, that in the end, he's going to say yes to me in great things. That I want you to go here and do this. And when I walk in those things, they'll be even better than what I even thought of back then. I'm going to let that sink in. There are dreams that you have that seem so cool and so amazing, places you want to go, things you want to do. They may not be the dreams he has for you, but what I'm telling you now is the dreams he has for you are better than the dreams you have for yourself. Will you say yes to him and where he has you going? Does he have victory over you? It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and I thought Mary was going to go here a little earlier, but it says in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." You guys hear that verse? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are to do good works. We are to do good things and serve the Lord. Why? Because he prepared those beforehand. Before the earth, he prepared those so that what? We would walk in them. Are you walking in the reason why God had created you? Are you walking? Are you serving? Are you creating? That was for somebody. Are you creating? Why he created you? What is he asking you to say yes to? It's important to say yes to him. Why? Because when we say yes to him, it changes who we are to be conformed into his image. Why? Because when we're conformed to his image and we are transformed, we transform our homes. And when our homes are transformed, it transforms our cities. And when our cities are transformed to be in the image of God, it transforms our state. And when our states transform, it transforms the nation. And when the nations transform, it transforms the hemisphere. And when the hemisphere is transformed into his image, the world is transformed into his image. Are you being transformed? Are you saying yes? No matter what you think, no matter what the cost, God, I say yes to you. My story, and I entitled this Trash Talk. Trash Talk. So like, it's 2010, 9-ish time period. So I'm burning up. God, I just want to serve you. I want to do everything that you want me to do. I want to go with the nations. I want to go out there and see like all the things and be a minister, you know, a missionary and do all these great things. And I'm just like, boom, on fire for the Lord. And I'm going at it. And Pastor Peter, who was the pastor here at the time, he sees this. And I'm thinking, man, ooh, this is going to be awesome. I'm just like, I want to serve Pastor Peter. I just want to do these things. I want to serve. And at this time, I was had like a little teen ministry that we were just starting. So I was, this is cool. Then one day, Pastor Peter comes to me out of the blue. He's like, I got something awesome for you. And I'm like, yeah. What's up? He goes, come with me. So I'm coming with me, I'm coming with him. And at this time, his office is the very end office at the end of the hall. So we're walking down there. So I'm like, he's taking me to his office. It's going to be cool. We go right past his office and right out the back door. I'm like, wow, we're going to the world. Yeah. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Nope. We immediately took a direct left. And he says, look at these trash cans. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, I need those to be at the end of the road, and I need you to do it every week. But I remember being so excited about taking out the trash can. I can't even explain to you. Because he asked me to do it. And I just knew in my spirit it was God asking me to do it. It seemed like a simple thing, but it wasn't. And I tell you what, I got into taking out the trash. And there were times, and we were living in Homer at the time, so it took us a half hour or so to get here. And, you know, Sundays it was very busy for us, and we were doing a lot of stuff. So, I mean, the trash was taken out, but I didn't get the trash out to the curb and where it needed to go. And I remember, like, Monday, I'd be like, nah, I got to go to the church. I got to take the trash out. No one else is going to do it. I'm supposed to do it. And I did it. I came out here, took the trash out. Why am I saying this? Because that was the start of something. And it's not that God didn't know that I was faithful to take the trash out. He needed me to understand that I was faithful enough to him to take the trash out. Mm-hmm. I needed to know it. Yes, Caleb, you love me so much, you're going to the ends of the earth, but do you love me enough to take the trash out? Something that you normally don't want to do. Sometimes it's the big things that are easiest for us to do, and the small things is not. So when we see the trash in the corner, we say to ourselves, am I called to take the trash out? And I do that to say this too. You know, I'm burning for the Lord. And I'm willing to do anything he asks me to do. Even if that makes taking out the trash bins. And I don't want to ever get to a point where I think I'm too important to take out the trash cans. Because if you guys know me, you know that's not the case. But also sometimes too, we need to see ourselves the way he sees us. And I'm just getting this now. That we're more than just trash taker outers. He sees us that we're worthy. He sees us that we're good enough for him. He doesn't see us as trash taker outers. He sees us as world changers. Do you see yourself as a world changer? Because I do. I see you guys as world changers. And sometimes, it's not what other people say about you. It's what you say about yourself that's going to change you. You know what God says about you. Do you say that about yourself? Do you repeat what the world is saying about you? Where you come from? What you've done? Or do you repeat to yourself what God says about you and believe that and know that? You are world changers. You are more than just trash taker outers. But you're willing to do so with a smile on your face to glorify him Because we do it all to the glory of God. Even if it means taking out the trash. It's a good thing to take out the trash. I don't want to make it sound like it's the least of these things, because it's not. And I hope I impressed upon you that whatever you do for the glory of God is worthy. Even serving tables, these guys were heroes. They may have been unsung at the moment, but pretty soon their names were being said, and we say their names this morning, and their names are written down in the Bible. That's not why we do it. We do it for His glory, because He is so good, and He is on the move. Are you saying yes to Him? If you could all rise, we are about to finish, which is kind of crazy. It seems like we're on normal time, but it kind of seems early. It kind of seems early. Maybe you feel God right now inviting you to take the next deeper steps in serving others in unsung ways. Sometimes this is one way God unlocks other areas of your life. We have a ministry team. So if you're asking God, how do you want me to say yes? Whoa. Yeah. That was so dramatic. Maybe that's what is going on right now. It's a sign. Yes. Whoa. That was dramatic. You want me to take my stuff out of the room? Yes. Okay. We have a ministry team up here, and they're powerful, and they hear the Lord. And I would invite you to come up and, you know, like you could say, God, I want to serve you. I want to be on fire for you. I want to be, say anything yes to it, whatever you're asking me to do. And just right now, I just say, like, sometimes we have to, like, you know, repent a little bit of, God, I'm sorry I didn't do that because I thought it was beneath me. I thought I had moved past that part. I thought I'd moved up in my ministry so I didn't have to do that anymore. So I didn't even look at it. And I just want to say right now too, Father God, that please forgive me for the times I was offended because somebody asked me to do something that I thought was beneath me. Ooh. Where the offense is, ooh, Jesus said, we don't lord it over others. The greatest has come to serve. And what Brian was saying last week, we serve the least of these. And maybe where you're offended, there's a piece of pride there that says, I'm too good to serve that person. If you're being honest with yourself. If you're being honest with ourselves, sometimes we're offended because we think we're greater than what we're being asked to do. We want to get the glory and not give Him the glory. So if you're sitting here today and you're like, yes, I want to say yes to Him and go all the places and do all the things, I just don't know where He wants me to start. Come up here and get ministry. Ask and seek. Come up and we'll pray for you. I'm telling you, He will show you great things where you must say yes. And if you're sitting here today and you're like, I don't even know Jesus, today's a great day for you because you're just right there to say yes to Him for the first time. And when you say yes to Him and He becomes your Lord and Savior, it changes your life forever. We say yes to you. We say yes to you. Oh, yes. We say yes to you, Jesus. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We say yes to you, Lord. We sing yes to you, Lord. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God, we're just thanking you right now for the breakthrough that people are receiving right now in the Spirit. We thank you right now, Father God, for the deliverance we have right now in the Spirit and the salvations that are coming right now in the Spirit, Father God. We thank you right now for people saying yes to you for the first time. Ooh, and there's breakthrough for somebody. There's breakthrough for somebody right now. You say, no more of this stuff. I'm going hard after him. I've got no more time for the stuff I used to do. I'm going hard after him. I'm saying yes to him. Yes to him. Yes to him. Ooh. Thank you, God, for the victory over ourselves. We're saying yes to you. Thank you, God, for the joy and the glory that we get to give to you. There's something in the Spirit right now. The Holy Spirit is here. Oh, the Spirit's just resting on us right now. Ooh. Ooh. This is not a, this is, it's a supernatural thing, but it's not an abnormal thing. The Spirit is always with us. Once you get born again, the Spirit is in you. It indwells you. But the Spirit also comes upon us. It anoints us so that we can walk in power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes he just rests on all of us at the same time. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you are resting on us right now to receive all that you have. And if you need ministry, if you need a healing, if you need anything, come up here and be ministered to. We have a powerful ministry up here. And I know right now some of you may be thinking, I can't move. This is where I'm supposed to be, right here at this seat right now. And God is ministering to me personal. God, we just thank you for it right now, that you're ministering to them right now, right where they sit, right where they're at. And you are just cleaning things out and putting things in. Ooh. I just hear right now that the anointing is falling on some of you for the very first time. And you'd be like, what does this mean? What does it mean? The Holy Spirit is on you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, we just thank you for continuing to do so in Jesus' mighty name. And as we leave today, Father God, let this not be the end of what you're doing. Let this be a beginning of what you're doing to interact with the world, Father God. Let our lights shine before men that they may give glory to the Father. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus. I just bless you all with that today. Bless you all with that right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.